a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor Brad Urbach with the Pierre Fort Pierre Ministerial Association, and leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance will be Maddie Bauer from Wall and August Crowley from St. Ange. We bow our heads in prayer.
Holy and gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We pray your blessings upon the men and women of this House of Representatives. We're thankful for the intellect, for the time, and yes, for even the gentle persuasion they bring to one another during these days. We ask you to bless them as they journey home this day. We pray that this will be a time to meet with those they represent, time for their families, and time for rest. We continue to ask your blessings upon Representative Qualm's son as he heals from an accident. We pray as well, Father, your blessings upon our folks that serve us in Washington, D.C., to be with Congresswoman Noem and Senators Johnson and Thune. We are thankful that they represent our interest, and we pray that you'd bless them as they serve our nation. So for your blessings upon this session this day, we ask you to be with us. These things I would pray in Christ. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Boland, Kamak, Campbell, Carson, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Don Hager, Jenna Hager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Hawley, Heineman, Heinert, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magstead, May, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrom, Olson, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Ramkema, Browns, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Shanefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalser, Steele, Stevens, Tulson, Tyler, Vercio, Werner, Westra, Wick, Wink, Wismer, and Speaker Gosh. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 19th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosh, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The journal is approved. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1135 do pass amended. Charles B. Hoffman, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that Senate Bill 72 do pass and House Bill 1248 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Scott Munsterman, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that House Bill 1189 do pass amended, and House Bill 1154, 1193, and 1229 were deferred to the 41st legislative day. Brock L. Greenfield, Chair. The Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports that House Bill 1057 and Senate Bill 18, 19, and 27 do pass, and House Bill 1247 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Fred W. Romkema, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that Senate Bill 78 do pass, Senate Bill 53 and 57 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Mike Vercio, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that Senate Bill 86 do pass, Senate Bill 156 do pass amended, and Senate Bill 122 was tabled. Tim Rounds, Chair.
Representative Wick.
Privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have family and seldom have a lot of them here. But I have one brother that showed up for the second time this year. I didn't get to introduce him last time. My brother, we call him Ted. His real name was Roland, when named after my father. But Ted's up here. He's with the Southern Black Hills Water, and he was here to testify at the Senate Appropriations this morning. And he was here earlier in the year, passed everybody the water glass, just like the representative in front of me has on his table right now. Thank you.
Welcome, Ted. Representative Stevens.
Thank you. Personal privilege?
Granted.
I'd like to introduce to you my bride of 160 days, Linda.
Welcome. Representative Kamak.
Mr. Speaker, personal privilege?
Granted.
Present today is my girlfriend of over 40 years, and it's said that a successful rancher should never own more cows than his wife can feed, and that's the lady that does it.
Welcome. I think we have a lot of spouses here for the military ball. Representative Magstaff.
I don't have my spouse here today, but I have a pretty special lady. Pretty special lady. My mom, Kaylin Cleese, welcome to the South Dakota House of Representatives.
Welcome. Representative Hayek, who's that lovely lady sitting behind my wife up there in the gallery? Representative Craig.
Mr. Speaker, you owe us all beef jerky, I think.
It's probably my turn, isn't it?
That's
it
all right, is. Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, whom I am just so fond of you all, I'd love to introduce you to my wife of 26 years, my lovely wife, Ruthie Craig. She's been a teacher of 27 years, and like a good Baptist, she was raised, she's sitting in the back row, right there.
Very good. Welcome. And I apologize if I can't say your first name right or your second name. That is because I'm calling you Representative Hayek. So my wife is also here right in front of Representative Scott Craig's wife. In the front row is my wife, Heather Gosch. Thank you for being here also. Representative Virtue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My wife is also here today, and I won't tell you how long we've been married because then I don't think that older than dirt actually would describe how long we've been married, I guess. My wife, Jerry.
Representative Hager.
Mr. Speaker, can I preempt my father?
You bet. Go ahead.
Personal privilege. I would like to introduce my mom, my dad's wife, of course, and also my sister, Emma, to the House.
Welcome. Further personal privileges? Any more spouses here for the military ball? Representative Stalzer?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce my wife of 45 years, Carol.
Welcome, Carol. Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce my wife of almost 32 years and an almost five-year cancer survivor.
Wow. Congratulations. Thank you for being here. Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bill 74, 105, 106, 107, 121, 133, 216, and 227, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1006, a concurrent resolution petitioning the President of the United States and the Department of State to authorize the Keystone XL pipeline. The Speaker has waived the committee referral.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Les moves that the reports of the standing committees on education on House Bill 1166 and 1172, as found on page 320, also of the Committee on Judiciary on House Bill 1151 and 1171, as found on page 321 and 322 of the House Journal, be adopted.
Those in favor of the Les motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 133, an act to establish a pharmacy audit integrity program. Senate Bill 227, an act to revise provisions relating to the possession of firearms and snowmobiles.
Senate Bill 151,
Speaker assigned Senate Bill 74 to Agriculture, Senate Bill 121 to Local Government, Senate Bill 133 to Commerce, Senate Bill 227 to Judiciary. Consent calendar items.
House Bill 1158, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the posting of public notice for meetings of public bodies.
The consent calendar bill, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, the question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1158. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Gibson. Representative Gibson. Representative Gibson. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 70 yeas.
House Bill 1158, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Go ahead. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1002, an act to provide for the creation of a trust account for unlocatable mineral interest owners.
House Bill 1002, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1002 comes to us today from the Oil Summer Study Group, chaired by the awesome Representative Solem, and we try mimicking our sister states' oil laws so that when the oil industry comes into this state, it's a seamless transition. What 1002 does and how it's been amended is that we have set up a trustee in place of non-recoverable, unlocatable mineral interests that can't be found. So oil companies can drill when they have a percentage, a large percentage of those oil revenue mineral holders, and the trustee can be inscribed by a judge, either can be a bank or an attorney, someone comfortable with putting together a trust fund that could have an enormous amount of money put into it. The amendment changed the formulation of that trust being forced onto the county treasurers, and that's the only amendment. I think it's a good bill. They've had no trouble with it in North Dakota. I'd stand by for any questions. I urge you to go green on this for all the right reasons. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1002. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Wink votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1002, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1167, an act to revise the composition of the Policy Review Committee for Animal Damage Control.
House Bill 1167, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring before you an act to revise the composition of the Policy Review Committee for the Animal Damage Control. Right now, on that Policy Review Committee, we've got Secretary Vonk from the Game, Fish, and Parks. We've got the Animal Damage Control Supervisor and the Secretary of Ag. This will add one representative from each of these groups. The USDA, APHIS, Wildlife Services, that's be one. The South Dakota Sheep Growers, South Dakota Cattlemen, South Dakota Stock Growers, the South Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farm Bureau, and the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. The committee will review the animal damage control activities, and they will be required to meet at least once a year. Now, I do have a friendly amendment to this that was worked out with the Department of Ag. Could I present my amendment?
You may. Is that 1167RA?
It is.
Has it been distributed?
It has.
Do you move it at this time?
I do.
Remarks, please.
Okay, this will change on page 1, line 5. It will overstrike an agency joint policy review and insert a policy advisory. And on page 1, line 12, it will overstrike develop program priorities and insert provide recommendations. May I speak to the amendment and the bill?
Yes, you may.
Okay. This policy review committee is supposed to meet every year, but they haven't met since September of 2010. This bill will bring in groups that are very interested in controlling predators, and they will be required to meet every year. Now, this amendment will weaken it just a little when it changes it from they're required to develop program priorities and change it to provide recommendations. But I was good with that amendment because they are required to meet every year, and if they don't do what the Livestock and the Wildlife Federation recommended they do for predator control, they will have to answer to it at the next year's meeting. So I ask that you support this and go green.
Further remarks on the motion to amend? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Back on the bill, 1167, as amended. Further remarks? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I've been asked by a number of people why I voted no on it in committee. And I voted no for the simple reason that we were putting together a group of nine people, and the outside interests, which were not inside government agencies, would have had a majority forcing rule changes upon those entities that I think we are trusting with our game laws to make the right decisions. The amendment is exactly what I thought this needed. I think we do need to force them to have one meeting a year. I think with the amendment, this is a rock-solid bill. It still allows for some dissertation by those people within the game, fish, and parks to make their own rule changes. They will obviously, I think, abide and be forced, hopefully, abide by the rules changes put forth by that, I'll call it just the commission. But anyway, I urge your passage of this bill. I think it's going in the right direction. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? 1167 as amended. Seeing none, those in favor of 1167 will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 69 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1167, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Representative Rounds.
Speaker, there is a title amendment.
Is that 1167 RTA?
Yes.
Did you move it at this time?
I will move it at this time.
Second.
Those in favor of the title amendment 1167 RTA will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries.
Representative Eklund moves that House Bill 1233 be deferred to Monday, February 11th, the 21st legislative day.
Those in favor of the Eklund motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries.
House Bill 1067, an act to designate POW MIA Recognition Day as a working holiday.
House Bill 1067, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable representatives of the great people of South Dakota, today I rise to bring you a bill on behalf not only my fellow veterans, but on behalf of several of my family members. I'm the proud descendant of many numerous military veterans. My maternal grandmother's side, Henry Becker, is buried in Lake Andes Cemetery. There's a small note on there that he served during the Civil War. Small note does not give attribute to what Henry Becker went through as a prisoner of war at one of the most notorious and infamous prisoner of war camps that history's ever seen. That was Andersonville. Anybody that's ever seen the movie Andersonville will understand that the actual atrocities and the living conditions that these Union soldiers went through during that period of time pale in comparison to what an actual director could put on film. Family archives reveal that when Henry Becker was finally released from Andersonville, that he had lost, I believe, 50 to 60 pounds of body weight, and he could take out each one of his teeth out of his mouth and polish them and put them back in as a result of the abysmal living conditions that he was in as far as nutrition. Now, Henry Becker is only one of 617,687 American POWs that have served this great country. I ask you to consider that number for just one fleeting moment. 617,687. That's three-fourths the population of this great state that were kept as prisoners of war into the most brutal conditions known to mankind. Now, what this bill attempts to establish is a very small gesture of respect, not so much for these gentlemen or women, but for the veterans that are out there today that go through every day with their survivor's guilt of knowing that there by the grace of God go I. Now, the other part of this equation is the MIA part of the equation. And to that aspect of it, one of my great uncles, Arthur K. Nelson, was MIA or buried at sea, records are not for sure, after the Battle of Okinawa. On behalf of my cousins who were also Army veterans, they never had a place to go to pay respect to their father. They never had a body, they never had a grave. And my cousin Kenneth is elderly, and I've talked to him at family reunions, and he's broken down in tears about the fact that he's never known where his dad was at. I had the fortune of being able to do a little bit of my former skills as an investigator, and I did some snooping. And I found Arthur K. Nelson on the MIA rolls, at the Punch Bowl MIA Memorial in Hawaii. Now, the reason why my cousin had a hard time finding this out was, true to form with government bureaucracy, they had misspelled my great-uncle's name. They had transposed two letters, and thus you couldn't find it as Arthur K. Nelson. They were overcome with emotion when I gave them that information. Now, more importantly, as importantly, we're today asking for this simple gesture of respect for people that died in faraway places, such as the Bataan Death March. As some of you may know, I spent my last year working for Uncle Sam out of the embassy in Manila. I went all over the country in the Manila, Philippine Islands, and I've been to the places where they marched in the Bataan Death March. I also went to the memorial, the Battling Bastards of Bataan, where those soldiers and Marines were forced on a death march. If they hesitated, they were shoved off the side of the road and their heads were lopped off. We also wept at the American Cemetery in Manila, where row after row of white grave markers say, U.S. sailor, U.S. Marine, unknown. I've also wept at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and realized, as many of my fellow veterans, that there by the grace of God go I. So today I come to you with this simple bill on behalf of our veterans organizations here in South Dakota that ask for this simple gesture of respect that we've already shown by putting the POW MIA flag directly below our national ensign that's flown here in South Dakota as semblance and respect and honor to those who lay in those unmarked graves and who are missing from their family members for the duties they undertook. Thank you very much for your time. I ask you, please, go green.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Craig.
I'm sure I'm not alone as one deeply moved by this legislation, and the one we're about to hear, that is the result of a very sensitive heart. I stand to compliment my brother, our brother, our fellow representative, who would be faithful to this country, faithful to his relatives, to remember and to call us all to remember those who have given so much that we even sit here today. What a gift of God through the gift of the sacrifices of those who, of course, bravely served in all of our armed forces. I simply say I'm overwhelmed. I stand in great support. I compliment the brilliance of this. It's long overdue. I encourage you all, yes, go green on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Olson.
I just want to say a quick me too. I also had a great uncle that was a prisoner at Andersonville. Representative Christy Noem, who will be speaking to us this afternoon, she and I share a wonderful friend in Bison, South Dakota, by the name of Bob Hansen, who was a POW during World War II and suffered greatly at the hands of the Germans. I think these guys should be honored by all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Would any member like to speak for Representative Nelson speaks for a second time? Seeing none. Representative Nelson.
Mr. Speaker, honorable members, I apologize. I didn't intend on standing again. And being overcome with my emotions, I failed to tell you that there was 450,800 MIAs that are still missing in action. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1067. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 70 yeas.
House Bill 1067, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1084, an act to designate Purple Heart Recognition Day as a working holiday.
House Bill 1084, having had a second read, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Stalzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and honorable House members. I rise today to introduce this bill, which I am honored that the members of the Purple Heart Society have asked me to introduce on their behalf. Just a little bit of history. In 1782, the Continental Congress told George Washington that he could no longer do field promotions to officer rank for the enlisted men who did honorable things in combat because they didn't have any money. So George Washington came up with the Order of Merit, which was, as far as anyone knows, only awarded to six people. But the actual book where the records were kept has been lost for over 200 years. In 1932, they reestablished this award as the Purple Heart and backdated to recipients to 1917 to cover the people of World War I. And to earn this medal, you must either be killed or wounded in combat serving the United States of America. So I think it's a very small thing for us to recognize August 7th every year to commemorate those South Dakotans who have been either killed or wounded in combat. And I urge your passage of this.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, urge passage of House Bill 1084. My father, Jack Hyde, who hails from Sully County, is the recipient of a Purple Heart. My 88-year-old father is still living and regards this as one of the most coveted medals ever. My uncle Neil Hyde was killed a week prior to having a reunion with my father in the Philippine Islands. So my grandmother, Rhoda Hyde, from Sully County received a Purple Heart for my Uncle Neil, and then a week later my father received his Purple Heart. So it is a great honor, and I would urge passage of House Bill 1084. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My father, Ralph Parsley, served in World War II and also served in the Pacific Theater, which was probably some of the most horrific battles that soldiers in this country have ever seen. And I would commission to you a book called Unbroken. If you've never read that book, you need to read that to find out what these soldiers went through in that theater. 3 months prior to the end of World War II, my father was wounded, and he spent that 3 months and the next 3 months in the hospital at the end of the war. And my mother, my father died in 1986 of a heart attack, very unsuspected. And the doctor said, one of the reasons that told my mother one of the reasons that your husband died is because of his combat time in World War II, that they see a lot of combat soldiers who that strain and stress caused early demise. My mother still proudly has that Purple Heart on the kitchen wall at our house, and we get to see it every time we visit my mother. So I urge you to go green on this, to recognize those who have given that sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice, which is either being wounded or killed in defense of this country. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, of course, rise as well in support of this amendment, or in support of this resolution. My father, who is a former member of this House, received a Purple Heart in World War II in the European Theater, and his service there has served as an inspiration for me. And I've talked to he and many of his fellow World War II veterans, I continue to be awed by the Greatest Generation. I urge green on this.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1084. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 70 yeas.
House Bill 1084, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. We do have with us today, and appropriately so after the passage of that bill, is Mark Williamson, the commander of the Sioux Falls chapter of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Mark, please stand up. Thank you for being here. Thank you, and that concludes our debate calendar. With us today, we have a special guest. She was over at the Senate just a little bit ago addressing the Senate. She'll be addressing us now. This is somebody who was a representative when I first got appointed by the governor and started my legislative experience. She was in her second year. I was in my first. She was on the executive board, and shortly after that, in her second term, became our assistant majority leader. Please welcome my dear friend, Christy Noem.
My goodness, thank you very much. That was very kind of you. It is certainly my honor to be with you today, and I appreciate you all taking some time just to hear a few words and an update from Washington, D.C. I want to first take a personal privilege and introduce my husband, Brian, who's with us today. It's not very often I get to have him with me, and I get to talk about... a very special man, so he keeps a lot of things going at home and gets a lot of lists from me, and I don't know if that's always a little bit overwhelming for him at times, but I just want to thank you all again for your service to the state of South Dakota. You know, you when I served 4 years in this House, we had a lot of challenges in front of us, but also I learned a lot of life lessons. And I'm sure that many of you are having those moments as well. For instance, one of the life lessons that I learned was to never play basketball with Larry Roden. Or he will take that old bony elbow of his, and that cowboy might break your head open like he did to mine the first time I hit a basketball court with him. So that's one of the life lessons that I have and that I always hold dear. Don't ever play basketball with Larry Roden. Another one was a lesson on consistency. One day, Jeremiah Murphy came into my office and asked me what my position was on a certain bill. And I told him what I thought about it, and he said, well, that's very interesting, because this is what you said about the bill 2 years ago, and pulled a tape recorder out of his pocket and proceeded to play me my testimony on the bill that had been there 2 years previously. Consistency is a very wise thing, because you have people that will hold you accountable to what you say and what you do. I also learned doing a bill with Jim Peterson that you don't judge a book by its cover, but you also don't just judge an acre of land by its soil type, do you, Jim? Nope, you got to take a lot of other things into factor. We may debate policies and programs and problems that the state of South Dakota is having, but at the end of the day, it's about people. And it's about how it impacts people and families that live here every day. The decisions that you make impact our way of life and our economy, and that encourages people to move here and to live here and to start their businesses here. And it's almost every day you can read a story about people making the decision to move out of states like California and Illinois for an environment much like you facilitate here every single day. So thank you for your wisdom and your focus on those important issues that have that kind of a result. You have some challenges in front of you. You're trying to put together a budget that will balance in 40 days. You're identifying spending priorities. You're dealing with the ramifications of Obamacare and Medicaid and the people who rely on that program. Also on gun control and education. Those are big issues, but I want to thank you for doing it responsibly. You know, South Dakota is really good at letting people do what they do best. And that is something that Washington, D.C. can take a lesson from. That it really truly is the role of government, is to allow people to be successful doing what they do the best. The federal government is a stark contrast to that. In fact, our overspending has been justified and laid at the feet for future generations to pay for. It's unsustainable. We can't continue spending money at the federal government level like we have for decades, for years. If an average family in South Dakota acted like the federal government did, here's just an example of what that would look like. If the average household income of a family was $46,000 a year, they would spend $72,000 a year just to pay their bills and get by and to live. That means they would put $26,000 on the credit card every single year without refusing to change how they're acting. Now, you wouldn't run your household budget like that, and you wouldn't run the state budget like that. And that's why things need to change. One of the questions that our offices get the most often is, I thought the House controlled the purse strings. I thought you controlled all the revenue. Well, I'll tell you that the Constitution clearly states that all revenue and tax bills are to start in the House. But we take a process much like you do. We send those to the Senate. The Senate can amend them or change them. They may never get voted on or agreed to. We don't have a time frame that forces them to look at a bill that may pass the House. But also, two-thirds of our federal budget is on autopilot. It doesn't come back to Congress every single year. That's our mandatory spending that is set in law by formula that's kicked out every single day that doesn't have the accountability of coming through the appropriations process. That's why our challenge is so great. The only way to touch that two-thirds of the dollars that are being spent is for a law to pass that actually would change the statute. We have to have the House, we have to have the Senate, and the President all agree on a path forward. We have more substantial votes coming in the next 3 months than Congress has seen in decades. We have a lot of challenges, but we also have an opportunity to turn this country around and to reform our federal government and the way that it operates. I get a lot of questions from all of you and those serving in legislative seats about sequestration. Sequestration is $1.2 trillion worth of cuts that were a part of the Budget Control Act agreement that was voted on last year that are going to be enacted on March 1st. 50% of those cuts will land in our Department of Defense. I will tell you, it will be extremely difficult for us to defend this country in such a dangerous world if those cuts happen. That's why two times last year, the House of Representatives passed bills that would replace those cuts. We took those cuts across-the-board cuts, eliminated them, and found other reforms in other areas of the federal budget because we didn't believe it was the right way to govern. The unfortunate thing is that the Senate has taken no action. They haven't voted on our bills or passed their own recommendations or proposed them so we could look at them. The president hasn't made a recommendation at all. Time is running out, and we're getting closer and closer to March 1st all the time. And the only advice that I could give to you as you're looking at your state budget and preparing for the future is prepare for the consequences of inaction. Be wise in the decisions that you make and know that sequestration is serious business. And again, consequences of inaction may occur. You know, a change can always bring a little bit of pain, and I understand that. But I also think it could prevent our future generations from paying a much higher price. And we're responsible for what we do today, and they will hold us accountable at some point for the kind of situation and the future that we've handed them. You know, the other thing I wanted to give you a quick update on was the farm bill. Obviously, we did not get a five-year farm bill completed last year, which was when it needed to be reauthorized to really provide the kind of certainty that we needed for our farmers and for our ranchers, and especially in light of the drought situation that South Dakota was facing. The end-of-the-year package bill that came before us extended the current programs for another year, but it was interesting because it was a typical Washington, D.C. legislative bill cobbled together that wasn't complete by any means. There was no reforms included in that extension, and it also reauthorized our livestock disaster programs, but didn't provide any funds or money that could actually be of benefit to a lot of our ranchers who lost cattle or had to deal with high feed costs because of this drought. So the House Ag Committee is going to continue to put together a farm bill, to have hearings, to get input, and get the Senate in agreement as well, and bring it to the House floor and get the votes that we need to get that five-year bill done. It's the right thing to do, and we have to use every option that we possibly can to get that done. You know, change in D.C. is difficult to come by, and I hear from a lot of South Dakotans, you need to go to Washington, D.C. and change that place. Why can't it operate more like South Dakota? I want you to know that D.C. is reflecting the culture in this country. Every member there that is elected feels as though they are pleasing the people back home that they are representing. And until we have leaders that will step up and bring the country together, that will make difficult decisions, but also cast a vision for where we're going and why we're doing what we're doing, our culture isn't going to change. And we need to get more and more people engaged in that conversation to make sure that through bringing our country together, we absolutely will also have members in Washington, D.C. who are willing to tackle the things in front of us. You know, we can turn this thing around, and we certainly can. I'll never forget, and Representative Hunhoff probably doesn't even remember this advice that he gave me, but one time he told me that you will be remembered for the things that you say and the things that you do and how you act. And that always meant a lot to me. And I've always held that statement that he made to me very close. We all have opportunities to be remembered in a favorable light. And sometimes by doing that, it will mean making a very difficult decision. You know, America promises equal opportunity, but not equal outcomes. We need to lead. We need to take responsibility. We have to have the courage to tell the truth. And we're not going to replace our founding principles. What we need to do is reapply them. So I want to thank all of you for being willing to be those kind of leaders that we need. That's what I strive to be every day. But we have some difficult decisions in front of us. I have absolutely no doubt that we can accomplish what's in front of us. And I'm thankful that you're standing beside me as we try to tackle it. So God bless each and every one of you and the work that you do. Thank you for representing our good state. I appreciate all of you. And if you're going home today, travel safe. Thank you.
Business, Arlene. Second reading of Senate bills.
Representative Lusk moves that Senate Bill 41, 45, and 23 be deferred to Monday, February 11th, the 21st legislative day.
Second. Those in favor of the Lusk motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. There being no objection, the House will revert to order business number 5, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that House Bill 1012, 1051, 1054, and 1064 were delivered to His Excellency the Governor for his approval at 9:30 a.m. February 7th, 2013. Respectfully submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Announcements. Representative Cronin, do you have a weather update for us?
Yes, I do, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Just got an update from the National Weather Service. It was a revision from this morning. Starting on Saturday, the snowfall will start in the western part of the state, and by Saturday evening, two-thirds of the state will have a significant amount of snow. On Sunday, snowfall amounts will range from zero in the northwest part of the state to around 8 to 10 inches here in Pierre. And then it goes back down to about 2 inches in Sioux Falls. So the center part of the state will have a significant amount of snow on Sunday morning. And the winds are supposed to be 25 to 35 miles an hour, gusting up to 45. The worst of it will be on Sunday and Sunday night. So if you're coming back, make sure you leave early. Along the I-29 corridor, there'll be some freezing rain probably early on. So we'll keep an update. We'll try and the Secretary Jones said that he would email the next update out, and we'll try and see if we can get them out to you. It's little bullet points from the National Weather Service in Sioux Falls. So be careful and plan accordingly, because we all need to be here next week. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative, and watch out for those snowdrifts, people. Further announcements. Representative Duvall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you do happen to come back to town Saturday night, Representative Rounds and I will find something for you to do. But that's not my announcement. The South Dakota Agriculture and Rural Leadership Class alumni are hosting a gala for legislators. You are all invited. It will be Tuesday, February 26th at the Casey Tibbs Rodeo Center. If you haven't been in the building, it will be worth coming to the gala just to see the building, because it's very cool. Anyhow, they would like an RSVP by tomorrow. And I just want to say Representative Feichert's daughter is an alumni, as well as Representative Wismer and Kamak and Duvall. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements? Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, on Monday morning in House Commerce and Energy, we're having fireworks in committee.
A couple of fireworks bills up?
Three bills, fireworks, 10
Thank
o'clock
you.
Monday
Further
morning.
Further announcements.
You.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet Monday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Representative Ramkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Monday morning, 7:15, is briefing for the State Auditor, Treasurer, and School and Public Lands. We will meet at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. Further announcements. Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education will meet Monday morning, 7:45.
Further announcements. Seeing none. Representative Steele. Those in favor of adjourning will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.